All right, Bob. Not every market is as happy as we are because coaches are getting fired. So
amazing.
Jonathan Gannon is the latest one. He was my coach of the year, I might add.
You had the Cardinals in the playoffs, Joe.
I did.
The danger
of
prognostications.
Look at this guy, Bob. He takes such pleasure in it.
That wasn't a shot. That was me grieving with you.
I also had the Broncos winning their division. How do you like that?
Yeah, I had the Chargers winning that division.
I had Vegas.
You had Vegas?
I think I did. Or either that or as a playoff team, a wild card, whatever.
How about Donnie had the Panthers getting in as a wild card?
Did he?
Yeah.
He was wrong.
He also predicted the score of last night's game properly, 26-24.
If that field goal goes through, I had Ravens 30-27. I was right on it, Bob.
I had Steelers 27-24. So I
nice.
Boswell
very nice pick.
Point.
I had 20-17.
How about if it ends up with Loop making it and Boswell's the guy we're talking about?
We would be talking about him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, this has been a weird little run for a perfect kicker, basically.
That right, ball, Bob. I never saw a ball go so far right so quickly.
Like I told you, I was writing. I looked down. It went through as far as I knew. It wasn't even close. And then I hear Tirico say, and he misses it. What happened?
I don't know. There was no wind. It just veered right faster than I could have imagined.
One of the strangest kicks I've ever seen. It was like a bad golf slice. It just...
Yeah.
It looked good when it left his – look at that, Jonathan Gannon. He is fired. When you go 15-36
and 3
years.
This season. That's a tough – Arizona's really in a tough spot, too, in that division.
They ended this season on a 9-game losing streak.
Houston has a 9-game winning streak. How about which streak now? You got a 9-game winning streak, and you also have the Steelers' 23-game home Monday night winning
streak.
Does
this count as a Monday night football game in the truest sense? Does it, Bob?
It's Monday night.
Okay. Didn't we have a Monday late afternoon loss mixed in there? That didn't count as a Monday night.
It's Monday afternoon.
Late afternoon, some would say evening.
Depending on what time clock you're on.
All right. I just want a clarification there because it's the playoffs.
It may be just regular season, right? I don't know how that works.
Well, it is. The streak is just regular season, but I'm wondering if we can couch this as a true Monday night game. It's on Monday night, I guess. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to bring the magic over, that's what you – but Houston's won 9 in a row. They know how to win games. Number one ranked defense in a lot of different categories. So, really interesting.
Other coaches fired. Raheem Morris in Atlanta. What'd
I was surprised
think of that?
By that, only because they won their last two, and they ended in a virtual tie for that division. They lost to the – I think they lost to the Jets earlier this season. Somebody lost – it may have been them. I'm not sure. But, man, every team has one of those games where you look back on it and say, man, they count. In September, October, they're still meaningful when it comes to January football.
I mean, that's a tough one, but he didn't have a winning season. He came in the middle of that year, was promoted in 2000. Oh, no, that was a long time ago. That doesn't count. So he only got 2 years, really, to show, and he was 8-9, 8-9.
And Penix got
that's
hurt
not a long
through.
Time.
I don't know if it was his decision to bring in Kirk Cousins at that money, but it was funny because the owner – Arthur Blank gave him a big hug and a handshake after the game.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, he was fired.
All right. How about Stefanski? What do we make of this?
He'll get another job pretty quickly, I think. I think he's a scapegoat for all their problems. I think their problems lie with their general manager, who Mike Tomlin does not like at all, Andrew Berry. I think he's the problem.
I'm going to be very clear about this. There should be a blanking statue of Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. There's one guy who's won a playoff game with that sick and sorry franchise that's run by Jimmy Haslam, who's one of the worst owners in all of sports. He won a playoff game with the Cleveland Browns. Him and Baker Mayfield should have a statue together. Instead, both of them got kicked out of town. Now, I don't know how much Stefanski had to do with kicking Mayfield out. This dude went to Cleveland. Did I mention Cleveland? And had years of 11-5 and 11-6. It wasn't his decision to bring in and sell the franchise's soul for Deshaun Watson. Okay? And I guarantee you he's going to get a job quickly. And if I was the Raiders with the number one overall pick, I would draft Mendoza and bring in Stefanski and whoever he wants to bring in. And let's go. If I'm the Raiders, I think that would be a great start. You?
I wouldn't object to that if I was a Raiders fan at all. Tom Brady will eventually, I think, make the decision, given the role he's in over there. And I don't know what he thinks of Kevin Stefanski, but I totally agree with your assessment of Cleveland. This is all Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry. I don't think, Deshaun Watson, it took an owner to want to give that kind of contract. He didn't make that decision. The owner did. He wanted immediate because they've gone through so many quarterbacks, but he made the wrong read there. If they had kept, just imagine if they kept Baker Mayfield. How this all would have changed, maybe.
Right. Stefanski won, and I don't agree with everything Stefanski does. There have been some games against the Steelers where I questioned him for sure. But he won 11 games and went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it's Cleveland we're talking about. So I think he's going to get snapped up in a second. I really do. And I think the Raiders' limits would be very wise to bring him in and draft Mendoza.
I agree. And they need a good offensive-minded head coach to be able to work with Mendoza. Stefanski might be that guy. But do you know who the rumored potential replacement for Kevin Stefanski is, Joe? Have you heard about this?
Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator?
No.
Who?
If there's a move made from this organization, it could be.
He was really frustrated at the...
Joe Block?
You know, just like he was...
Mikey boy.
I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
Jeremy Fowler said last week that Mike McDaniel could be a name to watch for the Browns if McDaniel and the Browns head coaching position, which is now open, became available. So if McDaniel gets fired in Miami, there's a chance he might become the Browns head coach.
See, I
promise you that would be a disaster.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that at all. I don't even know if he's going to be fired in Miami. I saw a couple of reports yesterday that indicated they were going to bring him back.
He strikes me as a career offensive coordinator, which isn't a bad thing. I think he's a sharp offensive mind. He doesn't strike
McDaniels,
me.
Josh McDaniels, guy better suited for doing one thing as opposed to the other.
He doesn't strike me as a leader of men, a CEO type. I mean, can you play that again, Limits? Bob, this is your CEO walking in to talk to all the troops.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
That guy belongs scribbling plays on napkins somewhere, like a beautiful mind, not in front of people, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, you talked about the leader, the CEO type. He doesn't have those qualities at all. It seems like if he can't even articulate that, whatever message he was in the media, how's
I'm not
he
sure
get
he
to
can
his...
articulate hello. How about Pete Carroll?
I'm surprised
with the Raiders.
I didn't think it'd be one and done with him.
It was so disastrous. It had to be. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I didn't expect. Did you expect that? Did you expect them when they brought Geno Smith in specific to him?
Not 3-14, no. I mean, I think old Pete is just done, and I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Don't you? Why wouldn't he be?
I haven't thought about that. I'd have to think more about it. I know one thing. He's going to get a lot of money to leave.
Wait, you think there's a question whether he'll be in the Hall of Fame? There's guys in the Hall of Fame who haven't won Super Bowls.
I never thought about it. Until you just said that. I didn't look at, and to me, he doesn't jump off the charts as a Hall of Fame coach to me.
But me neither. But I'm going on precedent. I think he's a shoe-in. If you win a Super Bowl, you're going to the Hall of Fame. Again, there's guys who didn't win Super Bowls who are in there.
No, I get that. I didn't expect you to ask that question. I certainly have not thought about his inclusion in the Hall of Fame. We'll see.
173 wins, millions of playoff spots, 2 Super Bowls, 1 Super Bowl win. Should have had 2 Super Bowl wins, right, Bob?
Well, that call that they made, you talk about play calling. That was the one that, like, you have Marshawn Lynch and that's the play you're going to call?
One of the all-time worst play calls in the history of sports, right?
It really was. I mean, everybody knew what was coming, what should have been coming, and it never came. They tried to outsmart themselves, and that's what coaches will do sometimes.
Is he in the College Football Hall of Fame already?
I think he is. If he isn't,
I guess they cheated, but who didn't is what I always say to that. You know what his record was at USC? He coached 116 games at USC. How many did he win, Limits, out of those 116 games?
80 maybe?
Bob?
92.
97.
Wow.
He was 97-19. 97-19 and 2 national championships. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Back in the day, John McKay won everything out there, too, before he became head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. His biggest decision, it seemed like, which Heisman Trophy candidate would carry the ball next. And that's how USC was back then.
How about Pete Carroll is not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame? There's a requirement to have coached for a minimum of 10 seasons, and he only coached at USC for 9 years.
Holy ostrich.
I didn't know of such know a that. Yeah, that seems weird. How about if you go nine and you win 9 national champions? You're not in the Hall of Fame?
You need a 10th.
You need a 10th, Bob. We can't let you in.
I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Do you think that happened with like football programs at like Yale and, you know, Brown back in the day in like 1910? They just were powerhouses and won 7 national championships, but no, your coach didn't coach long enough. You can't get in.
That is crazy. All right, Bob. Back to the matter at hand, and that is an absolutely electrifying, memorable, incrinculent, some have said, Steeler victory. And why don't we go straight to the report card and get another little aspect of this going on here. Ray Fittipaldo, of course, it's the most read thing at the Post-Gazette today. Every
people like grades.
Steeler game day. It is day after game day anyway. All right. Ray says the quarterback gets an A+. I couldn't agree more. The way that Aaron Rodgers played that fourth quarter, really the second half by and large, was just masterful. And he really gives this team, I think, legitimate hope moving forward. When you have a guy at that position, making plays, not just game managing, but making plays, you have a chance. I give him an A+ as well. You?
Yeah, it's all about late in the game. The weighty downs, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, all those plays, they were significant on third down, almost impossible to stop in the fourth quarter on third down, came up with big plays when needed. So forget the first half. Your grade may have been totally different in the first half based on what you saw. A+ is the right grade because of what he did.
Mr. P?
A+ for Aaron, especially how he was able to command the offense in the red zone, the drives when they needed it.
How about they were 0 for their last 5 in the red zone, and then they turned it up when they got...
Like, this is the type of game that you bring Aaron Rodgers in for. We said the same thing about the Cleveland game, but when the rubber met the road, he delivered.
Running backs, Jalen Ward, 99 scrimmage yards, Kenneth Gainwell, 74, 64 receiving, and a touchdown. And as Mike Tomlin said after the game, we have two awesome backs. It is a really good backfield. This is really interesting that the Steelers made it in. What if it turns out that the Ravens were the biggest threat they had in the AFC, Bob? I don't want to go too far here. But they're not facing Lamar this week. They're facing a great defense, but they are not facing the monster that is Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Anyway.
I kind of look at Seattle and Houston the same way. They have capable quarterbacks, but they're not going to win you games by themselves at times. They need help.
Right.
So, but those two teams may end up meeting in the Super Bowl because of their defense.
I think it's going to be Steelers-Panthers in the Super Bowl, Bob.
The David Tepper Bowl.
The David Tepper Bowl. Tepperware. Warren and Gainwell get an A from Ray, and I say yes to that.
I'll give him an A+.
Why not an A+? I was just going to say that.
They did everything.
Why is Ray being so cheap on the grade?
Because it's the call at the goal line where Gainwell stopped, but he was their leading receiver again. And that was noticeably different last week in Cleveland. They did not throw the ball to him or Freiermuth, and as a result, they paid the price for that one. But he was right there. What he does, Warren, is nobody runs harder than Jalen Warren. I mean, Walker reminds me of Jalen, the way they both run.
He gets extra yards almost every time he carries the ball.
He's unbelievable.
Limits?
Yeah, I go A+ as well. That run that Warren had where he broke off of one defender, then another. He broke, 5 tackles on that play, just continued to juke past defenders.
He has to be one of the best running backs in terms of yard after contact.
Can you look that up, Limits?
He'd been relatively quiet over the last couple of weeks.
Used him a lot.
Well, yeah, it was Gainwell that was taking the full stage, but both of those guys were the most dependable players on offense outside of Rodgers.
Can you find out if he is one of the best at that?
Yards after contact
as running backs.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to PFF Limits?
I do not.
You should. You're the Malzi beat writer. Does. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Vacations begin here, Bob. At the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel, January 23rd through the 25th at the David Lawrence. Are we dropping the L, Bob?
Is it not still the David L. Lawrence Convention Center? That's where it should
Limits,
be.
Why is there no L here? Have they dropped it?
It's a great question. I didn't think they did.
Am I doing something wrong by adding it back in?
I just provided to you what was provided to me.
I'm going to go ahead and use a poetic license here, Bob. Is that what you'd call it? The David L. Lawrence Convention Center. January 23rd through the 25th, exclusive discounts, convenient one-stop shopping. Dream it, plan it, book it, experience it. Tickets and details at PittsburghTravelShowcase.com, where your vacation is waiting for you. So it was a little interaction with Limits on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right. Offensive line. I think this is becoming a pretty good story. Rodgers dropped back 49 times and was only sacked twice, says Ray. The line's ability to protect him in both Ravens games, a huge factor. They scored 53 points in those games, and they rushed for 100 yards. Fatanu's kickout block opened a huge hole on Gainwell's touchdown. He gives him an A. I don't see any reason not to. I'll give him an A.
Yeah, I thought they did everything they could have done. And again, considering that you're dealing with a guy who wasn't even thought of as a left tackle, other than being a depth guy, and that's it. He hadn't played all that much. He's been terrific. And they did what they had to do in the run game and protecting Rodgers for the most part. I know some of that is a result of short passes underneath, quick hitters, whatever you want to call it, dink and dunk. But when they needed to go down the field, that offensive line gave them what time he needed. So, yes, an A.
All right, Bob, we have something happening. The pizza guy is calling Limits right now. I ordered us a pizza. Are you going to partake?
No, because
this is
my
a celebratory
wife,
pizza.
No, I understand. I don't want to eat too much pizza because I've been eating too much pizza. Yeah. And my wife has lunch for me before I go back into KDK TV after we're done here. So all I don't right. want to overeat. But all thank right. you for the thought.
You're welcome. It's a thought that counts.
Yeah, it is.
We still have callers on the line. We still have a lot of things happening. The defensive line from Ray. Cam Hayward continues to defy Father Time. He was front and center on keeping Henry in check, 14 yards in the second half. And he had a team-high 7 tackles along with Benton. Derek Harmon, I already talked about, I thought the series that turned the game, I'll be honest about that, was after the Hayward brothers were stopped. Ravens ready to go up 14-0, and if they do, I wonder what happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Derek Harmon, they showed the bird's eye view of Derek Henry having a gigantic gaping hole to run through. Only a secondary guy, maybe Jalen Ramsey, between him and the goal line, it looked like to me, maybe two guys back there, but not the size of Harmon. Harmon swats his man aside and just stands up Henry in the hole the way Bobby Spillane once did. It was a phenomenal play that probably goes largely unnoticed. And then the next play, this monster of a man chases down Lamar.
That was the most impressive play I thought he made. You know, given what you're dealing with, and I don't care how, you know, hampered Lamar Jackson is, if you can run him down the way Cam Hayward has run down so many guys down the field, and he showed a lot of speed for being as big as he is, that's an impactful play, no question.
That was really something. He only gives the defensive line a B, Bob, and I'd like Ray to explain that. He went through compliments, but only gives them a B. Is it because Henry got out of the gates a couple different times? He never really got out, except that play that got half called back. He still had well over 100 yards. I have trouble not giving them at least an A-. You?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Austin stuck with your pizza outside. He needs a key card to get in. Should I leave?
Is he looking? What's he doing?
And he's just standing there looking.
I feel bad leaving
Let's
him out
leave
there.
Him
you
out.
Go ahead. No. I feel, oh my God, he looks so small out there.
I'll go
looks
there.
Looks like a looks like trick-or-treat time, and he's dressed in a Steeler jersey, doesn't it? Bob, out of the goodness of his heart, has gone out to get Limits, who's locked out of the studio. So, yeah, I give the defensive line an A-, and man, if I'm watching tape in Houston this week, I'm thinking we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Bob, I was just saying, if I'm the offensive brain trust of the Texans, I'm not sleeping well this week looking at that Steelers front. I'm just not to mention Highsmith, Watt, and everybody behind them. Now,
right.
I know there were some breakdowns yesterday. I get it, but I'm not sleeping well.
No, especially when you know you're going to have a hard enough time running and making them one-dimensional.
Limits, why are you getting the first piece? This is unbelievable, Bob.
You know, I locked myself out, and then the nice man that delivered the food was telling me about his rapping career. So, and I also forgot my wallet with my key, so that was a problem.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
We were going to let you out there for a while.
I figured.
Just to, yeah, we were talking about you.
Sorry, Bob, I interrupted you.
No, I forget where you. Oh, Houston should be worried because they're going to have to do something they really haven't done well. They're going to have to run the ball to some degree.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it. And if you don't do it, you're inviting problems.
Again,
the Steelers, I think, are capable of turning the ball, getting takeaways in that department. They've done it. But at the same time, the Steelers are going to have their own issues with that defense.
They are. There's no doubt. But I think the Steelers have a quarterback advantage in this situation. And I think that Stroud will turn it over. I think that Rodgers won't. And I think that'll be the difference, one of the differences in the game.
Unless their offensive line can't stop that pass rush. That pass rush is legit, and it comes at you from different angles.
I think Rodgers will stop it by himself. I think a punt is a good play in this game, and I think this little dink and dunk offense with a shot now and again will be the antidote to that Texans defense. Not that they're going to light them up, but that they'll score enough points to win and won't turn it over. Back to the report card for what I can comfortably call one of the most exciting regular season Steeler games of all time. I can comfortably say that.
Certainly say that. Been some great ones in that rivalry, too. I mean, you can look back and remember all those moments, but that one, just the way it unfolded, was like two heavyweight punchers going back and forth, landing blows, getting up off the canvas and doing it again.
Total drama. That's why the NFL is the last, bastion of reality television, Bob.
It really is.
You have to be there watching it live.
And there has been this thing about script writing and fixing and all this stuff. I mean, come on. Based on what you saw last night, there's no way that any of that happens in the game. There may be some prop issues that people have with betting, but not like games. I just think it's impossible to do that.
Linebackers, our friend Ray Fittipaldi, you can read this at postgazette.com, gives them a B-. He said Alex Highsmith owes Rodgers a steak dinner, maybe two. He would have been thinking about his missed sack of Lamar all offseason. Benton was in on that too, by the way. They had him sandwiched. That was on a 3rd-and-4 at the 50, and he escaped and found Flowers for a 64. Man, was Lamar incredible in that fourth quarter. Wow.
He really was. I mean, just that play in particular was – and the 4th-and-7 to Isaiah Likely. Mm. I mean, to put the ball where he had to put the ball, there was no other way. He couldn't do it low, had to go high, had him go up and get it.
Here's what helped make the game special was that both teams came in with win-at-all-costs mentality. We're going for the win. Tomlin,
first time in this series ever that it's come down to that. So, yeah.
And they didn't play like it was – like they were tight. They played, we're going all out, risk, high risk to win. Fourth downs, the Ravens are going down the field, throwing bombs. I mean, it was something to see, and Tomlin's going for every fourth down in sight, Bob. I loved it. Anyway, other than Highsmith's missed sack, says Ray, the outside linebackers had strong games. Watt with an interception, Herbig and Highsmith with sacks, blah, blah, blah. He gives them a B-. You? It's a tough one, ain't
it? It is a tough one because I don't know if I'd go B minus. I might just go a solid B.
Yeah.
And again, I'm looking at it from the perspective that, yes.
He didn't mention Patrick Queen getting smoked for the touchdown, although I don't really blame Queen. He's not going to run with Zay Flowers all day.
No, that whole scheme, how that ended up. But, sometimes players make plays against you. And in that case, I thought Lamar Jackson just made an unbelievable individual play that probably he can only make. So I'm not going to penalize him for that. So I'll give him a B.
Wonder Twin?
Yeah, I'm wavering between B and B minus, but because I'm happy today, I'll give them a B. Herbig, the play on 3rd-and-7 where he wasn't able to fully wrap up Lamar and Lamar basically just like tossed the ball out of bounds before that 4th-and-7 play to Likely. I really want to see Herbig just rip him down.
I forgot about that play, yeah.
And Highsmith, Hayward, you cannot under any circumstance let Lamar get out of that position. It just can't happen. But they did make a ton of plays that were necessary for the victory, so I give him a B-. I'll go back to B-.
I'll go with a B. And by the way, Collinsworth, there was a throw early in the game that Lamar made. That was a phenomenal throw, right past Patrick Queen's fingertips and right onto Zay Flowers' hands. And Collinsworth's like saying, that's what happens. Lamar's going to put it in harm's way. Put it in harm's way. He made a precision throw, and if harm's way means right into your receiver's hands, then I guess it was. And then the other running back, Mitchell, I think, dropped the next pass. Did you see that, Bob?
Yeah, No, listen, as a quarterback, you're going to throw in a tight windows. You have to. You have to be confident enough to do it, and there's going to be risk involved, which is one of the reasons why I think the Steelers have shied away from that generally over the last several years, putting in those spaces. But, you know, he made plays. I thought one of the bigger plays we haven't really talked about was the batted ball, and Highsmith and Hayward both. I don't know who really got the ball, but it went in the air and right into T.J. Right Watt. Have you ever seen T.J. Watt drop one like
He's
that?
He's unbelievable.
He has
those.
9 career interceptions.
Yeah.
Along
Remember
with
the one he
sacks.
Had on Stafford from like point blank range?
Just, those normally doink off your helmet, clang off your hands. He just wraps those things up.
By the way, when he grabbed his side early in the game, I couldn't stop thinking about that. Like, are we sure it's a good idea this dude is out here? I've no idea what it was, but with everything that's happened, I was just feeling like
cold weather
uncomfortable.
And lungs and breathing and all that. Yes.
Would you have the same feeling?
Oh, absolutely. I think we all did. Like, getting risky here now. You're talking about a vital organ to your body.
Yeah, I just that threw me for a bit watching that.
That's something I didn't even notice being at the game. I had no idea that there was a problem with Watt's side.
He grabbed it and took a wince. Right.
You know, and
anyway, secondary. Ray says it was a rough night for Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Third and one from the 36. The Ravens threw it deep. Nobody near Flowers, who scored easily. Ramsey also failed to break up the 4th and 8 pass to Likely. Luckily for Ramsey, Rodgers and the offense bailed him out. Ray gives the secondary an F, Bob. You with him?
No, I'd give him a D. I think they made some tackles when they had to make tackles. All part of it now. Blown coverages, you can look at that maybe as a coaching thing. I'm not sure how that worked that way and what they were doing. But yes, they're trying to stop the run, which gives you opportunities down the field. But they should never have been that wide open. So I would give him a D.
I'll tell you who made a good play. It was Pierre on that first big run by Henry when he went Vlade D-back.
Good to have him back.
He flopped on that. Yeah. He flopped on it, but he drew the penalty.
He drew the penalty, yep.
It wasn't pretty back there, but if you're gonna include those plays, you got to say that Queen was one of the defenders, and he's not in the secondary. So I'll give them a flat D. I won't go all the way to F, and I think Ray was very mean for that, Bob. Would you agree?
Ray can be tough. He's
a tough grader.
No curving on his scale.
Limits?
I think it was the second Flowers touchdown where Asante Samuel, they all basically sold out for a run when it ended up being a pass. They were all shocked. Where he ended up tripping over his own feet, trying to backpedal into the area. Maybe it was his zone where Flowers eventually caught the football and just went sailing back.
Yeah,
I do give them a D, but man, if they don't fix those communication issues against Houston, they're not going to win.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted. Well, they're also not going to be sending guys, 8 guys at C.J. Stroud on 4th and 3, and they're not going to be selling out to stop a running back. I forget who their running back is.
Woody Marks. And they have Nick Chubb, by the way.
But Chubb is not the same
Nick
Chubb.
Nick Chubb is a shell of his former self.
I mean, that injury that he sustained was just a lot for him to overcome.
Okay, special teams, Ray says D. Boswell's missed extra point, obviously. He did have a 57-yarder. And then, of course, the coverage team blew it, says Ray, by allowing a long return to set up Tyler Loop's final field goal attempt. He gives them a D. Yeah, it wasn't great. They had a couple decent kick returns. Our boss, Craig, reminded me that Loop had a major gaffe that may have foretold him feeling the pressure by kicking out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Oh, my God,
Bob. That absolutely. That may have been on his mind when he was out there. Who knows? But that was a terrible kick.
Yeah, so Ray gives our Steelers a D. Our Steelers. He gives the Steelers a D.
I don't know. I'm going to give him a C.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a C.
Bob. The extra point nearly cost them their whole season combined with the kick return.
Absolutely. But
when did you get this generous? What did they do well?
I don't think they were the kick at the end. Yeah, big. But I think Chris Boswell generally has been very good all season long for them, and it happens. It happens with the best of them.
So I'm going to give you a chance. I know you're being nice because you are nice, and it's nice to be nice.
What's wrong? A C is just average. I didn't expect them to. I don't think they were to the point terrible where you give them a D or an F. You gave him a D?
I'm thinking D minus. Well, I mean, the season was on the line. They gave up a 50-yard kick return, and they missed an extra point.
I get that. But I still give him a C.
He's very stubborn limits, isn't he?
He is. You're not going to try to change your mind on that, Bob. No New Year's resolution to change your mind by the power of Joe's rhetoric.
Rhetoric. What'd you give him?
I give him a D. I thought when Boswell missed that extra point that he had cost them the season. Because, you knew the Ravens were going to go down the field based on what they did the past couple of drives.
Three timeouts.
I mean, it did take kind of a miraculous play to likely, but yeah, they did go down the field.
Right, and I thought that that was going to set them up to win the game, which almost happened. The kick coverage wasn't good, and sure, they had a couple of solid returns, but I think Waitman probably wanted a couple of punts back, too, where when they could have pinned the Ravens inside the 10,
it was
there were
definitely
a ton of punts
below average,
right at the 15.
Bob. It wasn't average. I'm going to give you one more chance.
No, C.
C minus?
Nope.
Okay. Coaching. Ray says there were blunders all over the field in the fourth quarter by the defense. Offense got off to another slow start, but the Steelers never stopped believing they would win, even when things were dire. Very good writing by Ray. Would you agree, Bob, on deadline?
I think that sums up what Mike Tomlin is.
He said Tomlin deserves a lot of credit for that. He has some things to clean up on defense with his back end coverage, but he has a chance to finally get off the schneid. You like that saying, Bob?
Schneid.
Get off the schneid.
Where'd that come from?
Limits? Could you look it up?
Never heard
schneid?
Of
it.
You're the schneid
off
beat
the schneid.
Writer. And win a playoff game for the first time since 2017. He gives the coaching a B in this game. Bob, what say you?
I would say that's probably the right grade. Again, just because the strategy was to make sure Derrick Henry wouldn't be the determining factor. But there were down the field plays. They gave those up. They're responsible for that. So, but because they won, I'm going to give them a B.
I know. And this underscores sort of the silliness of pro sports or any sports, really, from a fan media perspective. Is if that ball goes through the uprights, we're giving him probably an F, right?
Yeah, probably.
So what are we doing here?
Well, I mean,
I'm thinking for myself. I
agree.
I don't know what to do because
all we'd be talking about is how you let three uncontested touchdowns of over 38, 50, and how many yards? 68.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that happen
in
a meaningful game? So,
and yet they win the game. And yet they win. And yet I loved his mindset going into the game of going for broke. I'm not going to hold back here. And yet if that kick goes through, what would I be saying? What would we all be saying? What would we all be doing? This is pro sports limits. If Michael Jordan's shot doesn't go in, the Jazz might win that series in 7.
Yeah, they probably would. Bob.
If Mazeroski doesn't hit the homer, what happened to the Pirates pitching in that series?
Off the schneid comes from the Yiddish/German word for Schneider, which is a tailor, originating in card games like Gin Rummy, where being Schneidered meant losing badly or being shut out.
Also a great character from One Day at a Time. Remember Schneider, the utility man, Bob? He used to walk around with all those keys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
Him. Schneid, though. I never thought that was the
Neither
genesis
did I.
Of it.
I didn't think so either. So, I think of so many other plays from history. If Eli Manning's miracle doesn't work, then the Patriots go down as inarguably the greatest NFL team of all time. They didn't because a miracle, ridiculous play happened.
Or even that throw that he made in the second Super Bowl to Mario Manningham around the sideline with two defenders right there.
If Belichick, if Vinatieri doesn't make two miracle field goals, that's just the way it works in sports. I'm sorry. So for fans, media, even teams and players, they're firing coaches based on one game in the NFL.
Yeah,
based
they are.
On it, based on a kick.
And there's no explanation about why you didn't win.
That's so the way it works. So if Tomlin loses that game last night, if that kick goes what would he miss
44.
By 15 feet?
Oh, he missed it.
He missed badly. 20
that was,
feet.
That was a Mike Vanderjack sort of miss.
It was with the same, you could read everybody's lips. He missed it.
He missed it.
He missed it.
I
he
think
missed
everyone
it.
Thought it was going to be good.
If the kick goes through, I give Tomlin a D. The kick didn't go through. I'm giving him an A minus. Sorry, that's the way pro sports works. Limits.
Yeah.
What say you?
Yeah, I give a B minus. I just think that so many of the gaffes defensively were just not good enough to be able to put it in the A category. But I did like how Artie and Aaron
Rodgers.
Were those Rodgers,
player gaffes or coaching gaffes?
We'll never
maybe
really
a little
know.
Bit of both.
I think it
I
has
know.
To be both.
I'd like to hear a further explanation at the because Tomlin was asked about it, but didn't really go much into it. I'd like to hear what he says Tuesday.
Plus, he had the quote of the century, and that moves him up an entire letter grade, Bob. Let's play that one.
The quote of the century, Bob. This is funny.
Mike, how do you I mean, how can you put into words just the thin line between if they make that kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on?
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
Bob, that is so good.
Where did he come up with that?
I know. He had that.
It's,
he had
it's
that
an
look.
Old saying, Limits. He just put a new twist on it.
Right. It is.
He put the PG version.
But I will say,
he
does have those guys believing. Every single one of them love him around, love him being their coach. So, I mean, those are the things you don't see necessarily. We see all the things we see on the field, clock management, play calling, whatever.
Right. But if the kick goes through, then we're not talking about
that. No, I get it. But as you said, it's play to play.
It didn't. It didn't go
through.
It's
win or lose.
That's right.
So they won.
Do you think he has a giant sheet of, like, catchphrases and things that he wants to say to the team, like Malzi's thesaurus?
He just comes up with whatever he comes up with on the fly, and I believe that.
And this is pro sports, too.
And once you've heard it, you'll hear it again, and, you know, he knows it. But
Things that are endearing in victory are annoying in loss. It's just that simple. Bill Belichick is a boring you-know-what when they're losing. But when they're winning, everything's endearing about him.
Nobody minds anything.
You know?
You won the game.
That's the way it is. To the winner goes the spoils, Bob. And to the loser, well, they go home, don't they, Limits?
And Baltimore has gone home.
And it makes you wonder about what they're going to do next. Will they join the...
What should they do, Bob? I disagree.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I mean, I could make a case that, you know, these players decided what happened. So many misplays in critical situations over the last 4 years when they've been in big games that could have won and probably should have won. They didn't win. Is that on him? Sure, he's a head coach, but he's been there with a lot of stability. They have not won with a two-time MVP quarterback. So, therefore, I think it's a 50-50 prop. They may decide. Bisciotti may say,
What would you do?
I would probably move on, but I'm not totally certain about that.
I think I would move on, and it's based on so many. And some of these are player-related malfunctions, I agree, but
even the Buffalo game at the beginning of the year, Derrick Henry fumbles a couple of times in that game and opened the door for a comeback.
I know.
And
but
you would think,
so
as a coaching determination, you want him to have the ball, run it down their throats, and eat the clock.
I agree. I do agree. Yet when it starts to add up and there's been a ridiculous amount of blown double-digit leads in fourth quarters and things, and sometimes it's just time for a change. I'll tell you this much. You know, the accusations against Lamar were bogus. That guy put it on the line last night. He was great. I don't think he's ever laid down on them. Do you?
No. I think he's made mistakes. You know,
yeah, he's had bad games in the playoffs.
And the Steelers have a way of doing things to him. Not so much last night, but they did it to their run game, which they needed to do.
He's 3-7 against them.
Right. But last night he had his way passing the football, which is something that the Steelers probably wanted them to do. Go ahead, pass the football. I mean, stop your run game. You pass it on us. You don't have Rashad Bateman. You have
when
other
you say
guys.
He had his way, he popped four big plays is what he did.
Well,
four
those,
or five.
Those are big plays.
I know.
And
that was it. But it wasn't like he just, you know, lined up and riddled them from the first series. He popped big plays at key
crucial times.
Yep.
That's all part of it.
He was great. And I think the narratives against him are unfair. To be honest, I would love to have that guy as my quarterback going into next year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's 9 years into this, though. To your previous question, is he ever going to win a Super Bowl? The same one that follows Josh Allen around and
Joe Burrow
around.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are getting up there in age. Even Trevor Lawrence, you know, he was the number one overall pick,
sir.
And that's another guy. Although they seem to have straightened him out, and he's had a very productive year for Liam Coleman.
It ain't easy. And I remember talking to Peter King on this station. Remember when Ron was here, Bob, and it was the Cook and Joe show instead of the Pomp and Joe show?
And I remember I was in a conversation when you had him on.
Always getting second billing behind these Pittsburgh legends who are on hot dog cups.
I was uncomfortable with that, by the way, for the record. You could have changed it.
I don't want to change it.
I am a caddy for you.
You're more famous than me.
I totally acknowledge
you,
that.
And I love that. And I love you. But Ron, what was I just talking about?
About Peter King.
Oh, yeah, when I did the show with Ron, I was hoping to hear a Ron clip after that.
Oh.
And I asked Peter King, I used to do free association with him like I do with Kabali and Ray. I said, Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl. Yes. He couldn't say it fast enough. Yes. And I think most people feel like that, but that was now 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Josh Allen's ever going to get it done. And it ain't going to be his fault.
This could be the year.
He's winless on the road in his playoff career, so he's going to have to win three on the road to get there, likely.
I mean, Isaiah, just as you said, as we started today at 10 a.m., that's what sports is all about. The unlikely storyline that comes out of nowhere that no one sees coming, that you think was dead. There's never going to, and then it happens.
Didn't you think when Likely caught the ball that it had come full circle from the previous Ravens game and they were destined to win?
As a matter of fact, because of the way the first one ended with Likely, I thought, okay, that's karma there. He's going to come up with a catch that leads to the game-winning field goal, and it's going to be Likely more than anybody who is the villain.
Limits, let me read you some texts that I sent.
Please.
Jason Bumbliss, the head basketball coach at Beaver High School.
I know him.
A friend of mine. Nice man, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Had good interactions with him. He said that we need to go to a Warriors game the last time I talked to him.
Yeah, let's go. Warriors, Cleveland.
They
won't play any of their players.
They stink. Go to the Thunder.
At 11:34 p.m.
If I were you.
Can you drive us on your private plane then, Bob?
Yeah,
so we
Bob,
go to
why
OKC?
Not a private plane?
We can go to see them play.
At 11:34 p.m., he expressed displeasure with Jalen Ramsey for the way he didn't make the play on Likely, to which I immediately shot back, miss or block coming here 100%. And then it happened, Bob. And I'd like to take credit for that because all my other predictions, well, they've sucked for a long time. And also to my wife, my stepson, Michael, and my nephew, Danny, I said right before, and it's again, it's stamped 11:35. My wife said she was in a different room. She said, this game has been torture for both sides. I think I can hear the stadium screaming from here. To which I texted to all three of them, guarantee he misses this field goal. How about that, Bob?
Definitely with a young guy like that, first time ever in that cauldron.
It's the Ravens. They find ways just like the Bills. They just find ways to torture themselves. And that kid was going to miss that field goal one way or another. Maybe it was Skoronek. You know, frog hopping over people. Mm. Did you see what he did there?
Yeah.
Should that have been called?
I mean, if it's a regular season game and it is called, you probably wouldn't have a problem with it. Given the fact it was all the stakes were on the line here, I don't think they were going to call that unless it was completely mayhem.
My wife also.
You forgot to give Father Max his credit.
And Father Max for that end zone. Yeah. And of course, we had him ready to come on earlier, so it seemed, getting contacted by St. Vincent, and now it's just gone silent.
You can blame me, Joe. Maybe I should have just kept that quiet until we actually had him on the air.
Would have been a good idea, because my sense is that the Steelers have become involved.
I think so.
And when they become involved, Bob, things for us anyway don't happen.
You know, I mean, people are all exuberant. He called whoever it was and said, hey, you know, he goes here. I get it. But there's probably somebody you have to get checked with.
Nah, it's a fun interview with Father
Max. It is a fun interview. I get it.
Who wants to spoil the fun,
honestly? Guess what? The second,
well, why is the fun
second
spoiled
collection
here?
Next week will be even bigger than ever.
Why is the fun spoiled? We could have had a fun conversation.
That's a great line, Bob.
What'd you say, Bob?
What?
The second collection will be funnier.
Yeah, it'll be bigger next week.
It'll be bigger next week.
I mean, the two big stories here are that Father Max is from Philly. That's one, a Philly guy. Help to bless the end zone.
How about Philly-Pittsburgh Super Bowl? We've been talking about something like that for a long time.
A state championship.
State championship. Wouldn't that be interesting?
And the second part of the story is that Father Max was stepping in for Father Paul. We had the backup quarterback, and now there's a quarterback controversy, Bob. Who douses the end zone before the next game?
I have a feeling
you gotta
Max
go back to
will
Max.
Be back. Yeah, I don't think you can go away from that, right?
Limits, you agree that Father Max has to be out there?
I full-heartedly agree. But you know what I think? Maybe we should have both priests come together and bless the end zone.
Could be, yeah. You know? Can't bench Father Paul for this.
Yeah, but you
got to
get the Steeler Pope involved somehow, too.
Your spot because of why wasn't he there? Was he traveling, I would imagine?
I think he was out of town. Yeah. I'm not sure.
You can't lose your spot because you're traveling.
The Steeler Pope
the
was there. I saw him. I walked by him on the street.
But he doesn't have the power. He has what looks like power based on his getup, but he doesn't have the power to do what Father Max did.
Father Max is—he's on a roll here, Bob. It's too bad we can't.
He's
going to
turn
him.
Into Sister Jean.
He is. He's the Steelers' Sister Jean. Yes.
Yes.
The last text from my wife last night was: both kickers should hug each other. Did you feel like that, Bob?
You know, if I'm a kicker in that fraternity, I understand that. And Boswell had to be thinking the other thing.
Kicks.
Like, it could have been him that cost them a game.
Yes.
Of all people, you wouldn't have thought that. Yeah, I think I got to believe they'll reach out. He would probably, if he didn't after the game, he'd get in touch with them.
Limits, should they have hugged each other? I don't know if they didn't, by the way, but was that something you were hoping for at the end of the game?
Yeah, maybe that would have been appropriate. Boswell, a veteran to the younger player.
And remember Luke. Boswell, how many years ago where he went through, it looked like they were going to get rid of him at some
point.
That's the life
of a kicker.
That's the life of a kicker. So it's not unusual for any guy to go through this, no matter how good you are.
Crowley tweeted something nice because you saw just the sickening, terrible comments that were on
terrible
loops.
Terrible comments. People are, you know, behind their computer screens, they're so weak.
So Crowley tweeted out this morning, I'm sure Tyler Loop feels awful today, sickest man in America. Steelers fans owe the guy a lot. I say we make donations in the name of John Hopkins Children's Center. How about it? And it's taken off a little bit on Twitter.
Like
he put out the link to donate.
I like that.
I'm going to retweet that too.
Yeah,
I like that.
Bills fans have done that before.
Earlier this morning. I retweeted it too.
Bills Mafia has done that before with opposing players.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a great idea by Adam. All right, Bump. Where are we? Can I hear Ron's voice again? I wish he was here for all this.